Now, most people use their smartphone or at least tap a credit card to pay for things digitally these days. Love tapping and going, particularly during the pandemic. But there is something else on the horizon that could one day mean the end of cash altogether. Several countries are in the early stages of developing a digital currency that would take transactions away from the banking sector. In China, their e-currency development is years ahead of everyone else and is raising some pretty serious privacy issues. Isabel Rowe is taking a look at that this morning. Good morning.
Good morning again, Hamish. Seeing as basically everything else we do is digital, why not move to a digital-only currency, right? Well, in looking at this issue, I have discovered that a digital currency is a lot more complicated than it sounds. From about 2015, digital currency has been on the radar of central banks in many countries, inspired by the rise of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. Think about a currency that is only accessible via a digital wallet or your phone. It never exists in physical form. And instead of being issued by a commercial bank, everyone's money is issued by one central bank. To help explain what it is, I spoke to someone who knows a lot about digital currencies, Grant Wilson, who is with data analytics company Exonte Data.
The main innovation away from, you know, paying, you know, via PayPal or different payment apps that we're quite familiar with is that it can enable users to transfer value on a peer-to-peer basis. So that means instead of PayPal, for example, sweeping your payment back to your bank and settling with the vendor's bank, you'll be able to actually transfer value on a peer-to-peer basis, effectively displacing the banking system.
The benefits are that central banks are backed by an asset reserve. They're less risky than commercial banks. And it would also almost entirely remove the cost, for example, of a credit card transaction. The country with the most progress in this space is China. They're developing the e-yuan. Chinese authorities have been doing digital airdrops. They've been giving citizens about $30 worth of digital currency and a week to spend it. But intelligence agencies are on high alert because the way their system is set up gives Chinese authorities a huge amount of data on who spends what and where.
It's starting to seep into sort of national security dialogues and strategy think tanks. And they point out that, you know, in time, China and the CCP specifically could end up with the largest financial repository of financial data anywhere in the world. You can imagine a system where, you know, down the track, the CCP will have an incredible ability to surveil citizens, even extending beyond what they've got at the moment, being able to match financial data, transactions data with IDs, geolocations, so on and so forth. It would put them in a position of pretty much full control.
Now that China is well underway, Western countries are feeling like they need to keep up here, because the other thing the e-yuan would do is allow China to rely less on the US dollar. So other countries are in the very early stages of developing their own. Sweden is trialling an e-krona, but it's also foreseen some of these privacy issues. And in the US, the Federal Reserve has started to reveal it is considering a digital currency, but would rather be right than first. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell recently spoke to a US Finance Committee about it.
The lack of privacy in the Chinese system is just not something we could do here. At the same time, so there's got to be a balance, and it does call for using the two-tiered system in some way so that there's a wallet outside of the central bank, and transfers can take place there, and that there are appropriate protections. We're only beginning to think carefully about these things.
So where is Australia in all of this? Grant Wilson explains that we are in absolutely no hurry to get on the digital currency train.
They actually pushed back against introducing the sort of the retail digital currency. They've simply said at this point it's not necessary. And I think, you know, the privacy aspects are to the forefront there. So the RBA is actually not part of the seven-country collaboration that's happening at the Bank of International Settlements.
He doesn't think a digital currency is inevitable in Australia. Basically, the privacy aspects may be so significant that it's too tricky to work out, or at least it will be some time yet, Hamish.
Thank you very much indeed, Isabel.
You're welcome.